You're with the Big Breakfast Blowout. What if it's WLR? Courtesy of Coffee House Lane. It's Ollie and Difna with you between now and 10. And it's time to have another little bit of fun and a bit of education of a historical nature with our new slot on the show, I Love Me County.
Indeed, we are joined by the always obliging Cian Manning, historian extraordinaire. Cian, good morning.
Thanks for having me again.
Great to see you, Cian. Listen, we got a great reaction to your extraordinary story on bull baiting and Ballybricken and the bull post and how all that tied in last week. So thank you so very much for letting us know about that. The Irish giant in prospect this morning, who gained notoriety, you tell us, if not fame, as a pugilist. Liz Moore's Ned O'Baldwin. How's about that for a full
I love
title?
The sound of this, because the Irish giant, you're talking to a woman here who's 5'3", if she's lucky at all. Who on earth was Liz Moore's Ned O'Baldwin?
Yeah, you know, for people that like love reading or love films and stuff, the idea of boxing and sort of that romanticism of trying to improve on your lot.
You know, pugilist being the fancy word for
exactly,
boxing.
Exactly, yeah, the old school Egan's Boxiana. So like there's these wonderful stories of various Irish boxers. Dan Donnelly would be a famous one with Donnelly's Hollow. Luckily in County Waterford then we have our own Ned O'Baldwin. So born in Lismore in about 1840. It's interesting to even look at how they describe him, particularly in the English press when he goes over to fight in England. They talk of being raised on proties and that his people are vegetarians, you know. And that Ned himself.
You really have to look at him.
Yeah, that Ned is a vegetarian himself. And there's even a brilliant piece that they talk about. He's described as like a giant of the bean pole or beanstalk sort of size.
6.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
200 pounds.
He grew into the 200 pounds, I would say. So he was quite a physical specimen. Initially, when he goes to England, he goes to Langham's, which was a big training school for boxing. And he shows no ability whatsoever. He's actually kind of mocked and laughed at. And then eventually he goes to Birmingham. And he's trained by a man called Tommy Cooper. And you could say just like that, if you pardon the pun. He becomes like the next up-and-coming bare-knuckle boxer. So he fights a guy called Andrew Marsden in the early 1860s, is well beaten by him. He gets another big fight with a man called George Eales, or Ells, and he wins. And the kind of arc that puts him on his quest for world champion, if you like, is that he fights Marsden again and he beats him. So he defeats him in around 11 rounds. And the report is so fantastic that Ned O'Baldwin from Lismore takes a bit of a whack to the back of the head, cold water on him, and he's revived. And he manages to kind of plug Marsden with two punches that leads to a gash on the nose and above the lip. But there's so much blood coming from Marsden's face that he's actually choking on his own blood.
God almighty.
So again, kind of linking with the blood sport from first week.
We liked this in Waterford, didn't we?
Yeah, and Ned finally becomes very good at it. And if we're talking about, you know,
learning the hard way, can we say?
Yeah, and be it like, you know, like Raging Bull or Cinderella Man, his big fight is up against this character called Jem Mace. So there's been a lot of films made about this character, Mace. He was kind of seen as a celebrity of the year. And because people are trying to clamp down again on the voices that surround pugilism, boxing bouts, bare knuckle boxing, be it alcohol, betting in particular, the fight never happens. So this is in the late 1860s, about 1867.
A lot of hype about this. No social media,
no
nothing.
Yeah.
And even that's the amazing thing. Go through those old newspapers. You have like bouts being spoken about, never come off. So there's dates set and everything, which is probably not good if you're trying to elude the authorities. So Ned and Jem decide to give it a go in America. So they have it arranged to fight. And again, it doesn't happen. Ned gets into a bit of trouble. He ends up in the House of Corrections in New York for about 18 months, which is not particularly good.
What did he get up to?
I would say it's related to probably the arranging of bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah.
We know that later in his life, without giving away, he dies in his mid-30s. He's very erratic in his behaviour, which again is a story that is not unfamiliar in boxing. Mm-hmm. So again, there's these fights arranged. Tries to have that fight with Jem Mace in 1872. So you're looking at nearly 4 or 5 years after the original fight in England. And there's two versions of the story. One is that Ned was in such bad condition that his backers didn't want to put on the fight because it wouldn't have been any spectacle whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So they want to call it off. The other more likely story is that Ned had been promised £1,000, substantial amount of money.
Absolutely.
In the 1870s.
I would say.
He had only been paid about £45. Basically assaulted this man called Mark Kalacky, who was a proprietor of a hotel in Philadelphia, which didn't look good. So Ned, obviously boxing, pugilism, isn't paying him. So he decides to enter into a liquor store enterprise with a man called Mike Fennell in New York. So you would imagine we always see that connection between sports people and going into hostilleries and everything like that. So Ned decides early on into the enterprise that it's not paying its way and that he'll take on all comers again to show that he's still probably the best bare knuckle boxer around. And Mike Fennell, probably not happy hearing this. The only two people that really know what happened are Fennell and O'Baldwin. But the way the story goes is that in September 1875, Fennell walks into the bar, shoots Ned twice, once in the abdomen, another in the chest. And I imagine the 6 foot, 6.5 inches, 200 pounds frame probably sustained him for 2 days. But he then did succumb to his injuries. So it's kind of a sad story, as in Ned,
I would say,
coming from a very rural background, but he had so much potential within, you know, whether you agree with boxing or that sport at the time.
He made his mark.
He was certainly
God bless him. Tough time and tough life.
Unbelievable. And has he any family that we know of remaining in the Lismore area?
No, because even it's quite an unusual surname, O'Baldwin as well. And then that's the fascinating thing as well, when you look at boxers in America, like there's a Fitzgerald that was known as the Irish Harp. When he died in the early 1920s in Brooklyn. But because a lot of people went by the name Fitzgerald and went by the name the Irish Harp in boxing, that when it was reported of his death, there was another man, same name, same moniker as a boxer, and he said, "I'm still alive."
Oh my goodness.
So
talk about confusion.
Yeah.
Well, Keane, listen, that's where we got to leave it. We could talk to you all day about this, but thank you so very much on that. The Irish giant who gained notoriety, if not fame, as a pugilist, Lismore's Ned O'Baldwin. Thank you for that, Keane Manning.